The writer of the Hebrews wants to encourage us now in chapter 11 that faith is the answer. And faith is not just some feeling, but faith, in verse 1, is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. With our eyes, we see the substance of what's before us. We have different senses. We have, you know, smell, we have taste, we have feeling, we have vision. These are all ways that we can see what is here. We can see in the physical realm. We can smell, we can sense. There are things going on here. It's evidence. We see the evidence before us. Well, faith is our vision into the spiritual realm. Our faith sees what we can't see physically. Our faith sees what the Lord has revealed to us through his word. Our faith grabs a hold of who Jesus is and trusts him and obeys him. Faith is not some force to get your way. Faith is not the power of positive believing. You know, I believe this so much that it's going to happen. You can do anything that you set your heart to. That's not faith, that's wishful thinking. And you can do a lot of practical things here on earth with that kind of thinking. But that's not what the writer of the Hebrews is talking about. He's talking about this faith that's eternal, that changes your life forever and changes the lives around you. And in verse 2, it says, "For by it, by this faith, the elders obtained a good testimony." Ever since the beginning of the book, he's been comparing Jesus to the great heroes of the faith, the fathers of the faith, the angels, to Moses, to Abraham, and to the prophets. And he says, Jesus is so much greater than all of these. But these did have a great faith. Their faith was their testimony. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. We believe, as our forefathers in the faith, believe that God created all things just like he said he did in the Word. He created all things from nothing. There was a philosophy at the time that, you know, everything came out of something, and you can't have something that doesn't come out of nothing. But the Word of God says something did come out of nothing. By God's word, he created all things, and there they were. How do you believe that? Not wishful thinking, not blind faith, but a revealed faith. God has given you that conviction that what he said in his word is true. Were you there at the beginning of the world? Can you say there was something before there was something? Can you say there was nothing before there was something? Nobody was there except the one who was there, the one who created it. And in his grace, he's revealed it to us, and we apprehend that by faith. We believe that God created things by his word, through the faith that he's given us that we exercise. Verse 4, then we begin to go look at some of the examples of people who had faith in the word. From the beginning, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifies of his gifts, and though he being dead still speaks. You know, even when in the word, in the account of the word, you don't hear Abel speaking. You hear Cain speaking. But what you see is Abel exercising faith in God. And his sacrifice was an outpouring of what he believed about God. He believed God was faithful. He believed God was good. And he obeyed God because God instructed them to bring a sacrifice in these certain ways. And Abel did it with a thankful heart. How did Cain bring his sacrifice? Well, here's some extra. Maybe this will be good for you. I got stuff to do. He didn't come with a full heart. He came with trying to satisfy God with a checklist. And even though Cain was rejected by God, he thought he could get into God's good favor by killing his brother Abel, and then there's no one else to love except Cain. But Cain wasn't exercising faith. He was doing his own thing. And the faith of Abel still speaks to us today loud and clear. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch pleased God. What a character. There's not much spoken about him. He's something like 333 years old, something like that. And it said he walked with God. He walked with God. He trusted and he obeyed God. And God was tickled pink. He decided to just take him home. Whoop. Enoch didn't have to die. Amazing, isn't it? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's the definition of faith? Or another aspect of faith? It's one who comes to God and he believes that he is. Is what? Is God. He's the great I am. Do you believe that he is? Do you believe that he is who he says he is? Is he faithful? Is he true? Did he send his son to die for you? I didn't mean to make a rhyme there, but it just kind of came out. It's pretty cool. Maybe I'll write a hymn today. I don't know. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, God in his mercy has gone overboard in revealing himself to us. But there is an aspect of, do you really want to know God? And if you do, there's some diligent searching that's involved. And the Lord is tickled pink when we seek after him, when we dig into his word, when we pray, Lord, what does that mean? Show me something here. And he gives us a little glimpse. It's kind of like a scavenger hunt. Are you hunting for treasure? Jesus is our treasure. And he wants to show more of himself to us as we dig and we diligently search after him. And we do it because we have faith. We believe that he is who he says he is. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Noah is such an interesting story when you think about it. He spent 100 years building this ark. That's pretty diligent faith, I would say. That's believing. I wonder if he had doubts along the way. I hope it wasn't something I ate that night, because this is sure a waste of time in life if it is. Another place in the Bible, it talks about Noah being a preacher of righteousness. He would call out and ask people to repent. He's saying, judgment is coming, but there's salvation in this ark if you only come in. Because a flood's coming. And everybody laughs. What is a flood? They've never heard of such a thing. And they mocked him. But something happened within them. They realized that they were wrong, especially when the floods did come, right? It's not like he came and said, you're a bunch of sinners, you're going to hell, and left it at that. He said, God is gracious, and he has a way for you to be saved from the coming judgment. And by his actions and by his words, he brought conviction and condemnation on the world. Sometimes as Christians, if we're walking with the Lord and we're letting our faith show, we're going to offend people, because they'll be convicted of their sin. Not that we're any better, but there's something about walking in faith and trusting in the Lord that looks totally different than walking in your flesh and going after the things of the world, isn't it? By faith, Abraham obeyed, And when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham made it to the promised land. The other two were born in the promised land, but they were still kind of wanderers. They lived in tents. They didn't see the full fulfillment of what God was promising them. They were looking forward to the celestial city. They were looking forward to this city from heaven coming down, built by God, where righteousness dwells. But they lived out their lives wandering in tents by faith. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, okay, I got to stop here. All right, we've been making a great example of these men and women of faith that are mighty and strong, but Sarah, I got to stop here, because Sarah, you know, did she believe? She didn't seem to believe. She laughed at God, and that's why the name of the son was Isaac, because she laughed, right? But afterwards, she laughed because God was faithful. There was some faith in her. There was some faith in Abraham. Abraham made it to the promised land only after he went halfway and stopped and then kept going. You know, Abraham had faith that the Lord would give them a child only after he and Sarah schemed and had a child through Hagar, the servant, the maidservant. What is the Holy Spirit bringing out through the writer of the Hebrews? He's showing us the faith, not the problems. They had faith. Some of them had more shaky faith than others, but they had faith in the Lord. And this faith moved mountains. And that gives me great hope, and I hope it does to you too. If it's before or after, Sarah had great faith in the Lord, and she did rejoice that God did fulfill what he said he would do in her, in spite of her. And how much does the Lord accomplish in our lives in spite of us? How much more can he accomplish in our lives when we really step out in deeper and deeper faith? You know, let's not look at, you know, how little faith do I need to please God? Well, let's go the other way. We know we've fallen short, and that's why God did what he did. That's what the cross is all about. No man can reach the righteousness of God. Okay, so let's put our trust in the Lord and walk with him. He gives us boldness. He gives us strength. It's not about us. It's about him. Okay, we put that aside. How little faith can I get away with? It doesn't matter how little. I'm going to take what I have. I'm going to walk in the forgiveness he's given me, and I'm going to seek him more and more. Because the truth is, we have unlimited supply of faith to exercise. How much is there to learn of the Lord? An infinite amount. We've got a whole lot of room to grow. Much more to learn of the Lord. And he says, come and be a part of the adventure that I have for you. And because Sarah believed, therefore from one man and from him as good as dead were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Both physical and spiritual children of Abraham are innumerable. And it's funny, as if he was as good as dead. Abraham was at the end of his life. And yet the Lord fulfilled his promise, and Abraham believed. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Did he have doubts along the way? Yes. Did he have fumbles along the way? Yes. Do we have doubts along the way and fumbles along the way? Yes. But God is faithful. He's paid the price. Continue to trust him and not yourself. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. We don't live here. I mean, this is not our home. We're passing through. Our home is with our Father in heaven, who's made us his Father through his sacrifice of his Son. That's our faith. That's our hope. That's what we're looking forward to. And these folks, they didn't receive all the promises. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. If you're a pilgrim and a stranger on this earth, you realize that there's something else. This is not quite it. And truly, if they had called to mind that country which they had come out, they would have opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. God, even with all their foibles and falling short of God's glory, God was not ashamed to be called their God because they did trust him at some level. A mustard seed of faith is planted and a great tree comes out of it. Faith says there's more to this life than this life. And faith says, even if I don't receive it in the here and now, I know I will receive it in the future. And even a step beyond that, faith says, I know I won't receive it in the here and now, but maybe my children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren will see it. Have you ever seen the documentary called Monumental by Kirk Cameron? It's the story of the pilgrims. And one of the descriptions of the pilgrims, the pilgrim fathers, were that, you know, their life purpose was to fall into the mud and in the path and lay down their life there so that their wives and children could walk over their backs to the new world. The idea that my life isn't about what I get to accomplish and reap here. My life is about laying my life down for my family, for my country, for the world. Their faith, you can make a case, their faith changed the way the world is today because they laid down themselves. This is the kind of faith that the forefathers had. They could see it. They trusted it to some degree, and God rewarded it. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. We studied Abraham a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, and what an interesting study. Abraham finally gets this child a promise, and God says, "I want you to sacrifice him." And I could imagine there was some hesitation in him, but the account in the very next verse says he packed up his bags and got ready to do what God told him to do, and he brought Isaac with him. And Isaac said, "Where's the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "The Lord will provide himself a lamb. Now put this wood on your back because we got to burn it. Oh, and by the way, so now we're here, I need to tie you up and you're the sacrifice." And it's interesting because Isaac, a lot of commentators believe he was a late teenager or even early young adult in his 20s. The implication there, young, strong. Dad was old and weak. He could have fought his dad and said, don't touch me. You're not doing this. He willingly surrendered and was going to do whatever God wanted him to do. Another aspect of it here, the writer of the Hebrews is describing Isaac as Abraham's only begotten son. But there was another guy that they did by mistake. Ishmael. What about Ishmael? As far as God is concerned, this is the son that was done in faith. And the things that are done in faith are the things that God remembers and God highlights and God shows. Isn't that like the grace of God? Where are all your failures in your Christian walk? They're gone. Isaac is described as Abraham's only begotten son. This is the son of the promise. This is the one that I'm focusing on. This is the son resulting of faith. Well done. And what happens? The Lord says, stop, before he sacrifices his son. And he sends a ram that's stuck in the bushes. The Lord has sent himself a sacrifice. And on the same set of hills is where Jesus Christ would later become the Lamb of God, God's only begotten Son, that dies for the sins of the world. Abraham considered his son dead in that he freely gave him back to the Lord. This is your son. This is your work. I praise you. And I sacrifice. And he brings him back as a resurrected son. Come on, son, you're alive. Let's go home. That's a great example of faith. Sometimes God will take us in directions that make no sense. Can we attest to that? Has God taken us in places where, why in the world am I here? And why are you telling me to do this? There is a reason. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. We looked over that this last Wednesday. How Jacob was a schemer from the beginning, heel catcher. Esau was the firstborn, but somehow Jacob got the blessing. And there was a lot of scheming going on with dad. And mom, with mom trying to fool dad and telling Jacob to do this and that and the other thing. And when Isaac realized that he had blessed, when Isaac realized that he had blessed Jacob instead of Esau, his heart was broken because he wanted to bless Esau. But he said, and yes, the blessing of the Lord will be upon Isaac. Sometimes our faith is exercised against our will. And we realize that God accomplished his purpose through us even when we were fighting against it. But then we acknowledge, God, you are right. God, you're going to accomplish your will. Have your way. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Jacob gave in and went down to Egypt with the rest of his sons. And by faith, he met his son Joseph, who he thought was dead. And by faith, he was able to bless Joseph's sons while leaning on the top of his staff. Do you know why he was leaning on his staff? Because he fought with God. And God put his hip out, and ever since, he had problems walking, and he needed a walking stick. That's a place where his faith grew in the Lord. That's a place where his name was changed from schemer to God prevails. And it's interesting, when we looked at that account, it said, you know, I'm changing your name to Israel because you have fought against and prevailed against God. But the name Israel means God prevails. When we fight with God and when we win, who actually won? The Lord has won. He has gotten us to a place where he wanted us to be. Jacob said, I won't let you go until you bless me. And that's what God's heart was. He wanted to bless Jacob, but he wanted Jacob to believe and to trust and to accept God for who he said he is. And when God wins in our battles against him, our wrestlings with him, as we wrestle through, you know, work out your salvation with fear and trembling when you're wrestling with the Lord and he wins, guess what? You win. You win when you're on God's side. You win when your flesh is subdued and your will is turned to God's will. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. You know, under the time of Joseph, the Israelites had great favor in Egypt. But after he died, they became a threat to the Egyptians, and they made them slaves to control them. And they were slaves for 400 years. Yet Joseph, in his faith, knew that God was going to take them out of this land. He didn't know how long it was going to take, but he knew that they were going back to the promised land. And he said, take my bones with you when you go. By faith, he said that. And that faith was realized, wasn't it? Joseph was buried in the promised land. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of the Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. That's a powerful phrase there, isn't it? Can you say your faith is strong enough to suffer affliction with the people of God, rather than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin? Esteeming reproach, the reproach of Christ, greater than riches of Egypt, for he looked for the reward. The things of this earth do not promise what the Lord promises us. And because we have these eyes that look into the future, that grab hold of the truth that God has revealed to us, we can do crazy things like saying, I don't want that position because I can't serve and glorify God there. I could get great riches and great esteem and great, you know, power in that position, but, you know, I really believe this world ain't it. We're just passing through, and before you know it, we'll be in the presence of God. That's more important to me than anything else. And that was the heart of Moses. He was looking forward to the Messiah. Christ means Messiah, the greater things. He has the greater riches to come. He was going to make all things right. He is our great reward. And Moses was looking forward to him. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is visible, who is invisible. Moses had a special faith with the Lord. The Lord revealed himself to Moses in a few different ways, and yet God is still invisible, and yet Moses saw more of God than anybody else did. The presence of God passed by him, even though he had to be facing inside a crack of the rock while God passed by. He saw God's glory in a way that nobody else did. Meeting with God on the mountain, amazing. He endured. Faith helps us see God when we don't see him. And faith helps us to endure through tough situations, knowing that God is at work. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn one should touch them. Just imagine if you were in Moses' shoes. All these things have happened to the Egyptians. God showed himself strong. And yet, the last thing he says, all right, Moses, here's the deal. You got to go get all these animals and sacrifice them and then put them over the door with all the blood and everything. And he's like, blood on doors? They're not going to let me do that. That sounds so strange and weird. And did he say, no, God, I'm not going to do that because I'm going to get pushed back? No, he said, this is the only way. By faith, he said, God said this, and this is going to happen. And this is our salvation, the blood of the Lamb. And because he, by faith, put it on the doors, and by faith, the people of Israel followed, they were saved, and they were set free. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. Just because you're strong and have a powerful army in this world does not mean you can do the same things that a weak clan of people do by faith. Faith is stronger than anything else the world can come up with. And they went through the Red Sea. Were they excited? Were they praising God? Were they having a good... I'm sure they went through the Red Sea thinking, we're going to die, but I'm going to move forward because this is what we said we're going to do, and I don't see any other option. We're going to go through. And they made it to the other side. And then they saw the armies coming through. And then they saw the hand of God defeat their enemies right before them. Do you think at that point they were praising God and singing and saying, yeah, I knew it all along. I don't know. My faith is a lot better in retrospect. I don't know about you. But after we've gone through and seen what God has done, I can go back, yeah, see what God did. But in the midst of it, I think God is saying, this is going to happen, but this looks impossible. Yeah, he's answered the same sort of thing before in the past, and I'm trusting and I'm hoping he's going to do it now. But after he did it, there's a lot more confidence in there, isn't there? He did it. He did it again. And I'm ready next time something happens, sort of. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Remember, Moses, the great man of faith, could not enter into the promised land because he misrepresented the goodness of God. And so Joshua was given the baton and said, okay, you go. Now, Joshua, we're going to go across the Jordan River, and we're going to part it like you've seen before in the Red Sea, and we're going to go through, and now you're just going to tell the people to walk around the city once every for 6 days. Go around the city, sing praise and worship, and come back out. You want me to tell the people to do what? But he didn't question God. He did what God told him to do. And on the seventh day, they walked around. Is this right? Seven times? And on the seventh time, they blew horns and trumpets and everything, and the walls came down. Have you ever heard of any army doing it that way before? Only by faith. And he did it. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies in peace. Wait a minute. Rahab is a harlot. That's a prostitute. Prostitutes don't belong in the church, do they? Or do they? What does faith tell us? Reach out to the unlovely. Reach out to the sinner. I mean, Jesus was friends with sinners because he had the answer that they needed. And love and compassion. And Rahab saw that these people had the God that saves. And she wanted to be on the right side of the God who saves or brings judgment. And we've said this before. What does Jesus save us from? He saves us from himself. He's the judge. He's bringing judgment. But he's also brought salvation so you can escape that judgment. And how did he do it? By offering himself as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the earth. And now he sits, his job finished, at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. That's our God. And Rahab got a hold of that. And by faith, she and her household were saved. And she stopped being a harlot. In fact, she was in the line of the Messiah. That's how our God works. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and also David and Samuel and the prophets. Gideon, mighty man of valor, right? But God, I just need you to give me a couple more signs to make sure that I really believe what you told me to do. Barak, yes, I'll go defeat the enemy only if Deborah leads the charge. Great faith, a little hesitation. Samson. He took all of God's gifts and used it for his own fleshly pleasures for his whole life. And yet he gave up his life at the very end to destroy the enemies which God had called him to do from the beginning. He made it into the hall of faith. Jephthah, do you remember this sad story? He made a vow to the Lord that if the Lord gave him victory, he would offer to the Lord the first thing that came out of his house when he came back. What came out of his house? His daughter. But he made it into the hall of faith. Makes you think. David, a man after God's own heart, adulterer, murderer. Wow. And Samuel, mighty prophet, who had some messed up boys, didn't parent them right. These are all mighty men of faith. Mighty men of faith who realized their fallenness and put their trust in the Lord. It's not about the things that you've done wrong. It's about the one who has paid your price. Are you trusting in him or are you dwelling in your past sin? Samuel and the prophets, all these who through faith did all these things. They subdued kingdoms. They worked righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of the fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. When we walk in faith, mighty things happen. And these were all examples of these things that happened in their lives. And that's where a lot of times we stop. If you're a mighty man of faith, only great things happen in your life. You're never sick. You're never defeated. You're always prosperous. You never say anything wrong. You're always a blessing. That's not always the case, is it? Women received their dead raised to life again. You know, if those women had great faith, this is a great miracle when the dead are received back to life again. But if you had great faith, they wouldn't have died to begin with. Is that taught a lot today? But what is the real truth here? God is with us no matter what. Our strength, our faith in him does not waver no matter what. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Our life that we have ahead, our eyes of faith looking at eternity, looking at life with the Lord, where he's prepared a place for us, where there is no more sin and death, that's much better. And I'm looking forward to it. So I can endure anything that happens here. Still others had trials of mocking and scourgings. Yes, the chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, were destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. The world loves to destroy them, but the truth is, in their faith and in their endurance, there's so much better example of God than anybody in the world. The world's not worthy to have these people. They belong in heaven. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves on the earth. Even Jesus said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. They realized that they were just passing through. And the things that they suffer in this world is nothing compared to the glory that's ahead for them. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. They never realized the fulfillment of the good news. They were saved by the gospel. They were saved by the blood of Christ. But they looked forward to it, and they did not know how it was going to play out. We look back at the finished work of Jesus on the cross. And that's how we find salvation. But salvation is still by grace, through faith, in the finished work of the Messiah. They look forward to him. They didn't receive the promise in the here and now. God, having provided something better for us, that they should not be perfect apart from us. We get to see the bigger picture of the gospel, of the work of Jesus, how it all played out in the Old Testament and how it was all fulfilled on the cross. And now we celebrate it, we live in it, but it's not just for us, it's for them too, because they join with us, because we are looking forward to the return of Christ, when all of his saints return with him to bring judgment to the world. What a glorious place. So are you people of faith this morning? We've seen so many examples of people who, boy, you call him a Christian? Or do you really believe he was a worker of God? That pastor that wrote that hymn, he couldn't get along with anybody. We shouldn't let him be a pastor because he's a terrible example of God. And yet God used him and he wrote a mighty hymn that the church sings today to build up their faith in Christ. Because our faith is not about us, is it? Our faith is about the Lord, his finished work in our lives. And our eyes of faith see the potential we have in following him, in growing in him, in experiencing him. And he gives us the boldness to endure anything that comes our way and bless him when all the good things come our way too. Because God has given us all things to enjoy in this world too. Are we looking forward to our heavenly home like the examples of the fathers of our faith in the past? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much that our faith is not dependent on us, but it's focused on you. Lord, thank you that we're free from works. And yet, in so many ways, we still get caught up in it. Many times it's when we look at other people and say, they can't be hearing God or following God. They call themselves a Christian. And yet there's so many examples in the Old Testament and New of flawed people who you see as men and women of great faith. Lord, would you see us as men and women of great faith? Would you help us to lay aside the condemnations, the shortcomings, and accept your forgiveness and walk in relationship with you so we can grow in you, experience our faith grow in exponential ways so that you can use us in mighty ways to glorify you and to be ready for eternity in fellowship with you. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.